Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. This episode is called The Thing About Pam. You might have heard that name before.
It's the Pam. Name of the episode. Pam!
It's so funny that you keep doing that. And then on Crime Writers On, Toby did the Seinfeld thing. There was an episode about a lady named Pam that Jerry and Kramer were both in love with. And Jerry was like, what about her name? Pam. Like, I'm not, whatever. And then Kramer's like, I love the name. Pam. 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 Like, just kept, he loved Pam. He loved the way it sounded.
That's and then, so funny.
And then Jerry changed his mind. And then all of a sudden he was gaga. And he's like, I even think I like her name. Pam. Pam.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah. So,
no, I'm going straight for Michael Scott.
Yeah. Pam. Pam, Pam. So this is the episode that is also the podcast hosted by Keith Morrison. This case has been covered 4 times already on Dateline. In case you're interested, it's the house on Sumac Drive, Game Night, Return to Game Night, and Stranger Than Fiction. And now The Thing About Pam. Yeah. It's a big deal.
It's also very clear. Well, I don't know. I feel like there must be other... This one's pretty nutty. We've covered some nutball things.
It's nutty, and also Dateline is involved in the story.
True.
So that makes it even
amazing.
Nuttier.
We decided to split this up into 2 parts, and we're going to cover the first murder in part 1, and we'll cover the second murder in part 2.
Yeah. Well, there might be more murders, but...
Well, yes. Okay, we'll cover the second murder that goes to trial.
Right.
In part 2.
And the third that might go to trial.
And the third that's question mark, but and oh my gosh.
And the first that might go to trial again. So
true. Oh my goodness.
There's a lot going on here.
It's so much, but it is so good. And I know Game Night because you've talked about it for years. So I knew what it was.
I've always wanted to cover Game Night. Always. Yeah. And so I'm really excited.
Are you excited about the podcast?
Oh,
yeah. Are you excited?
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
It's so good. Oh, we even got to do a little review for Crime Writers On, so listen to their latest episode where they review the show. I was shocked that they liked it. They all liked it. Even Toby didn't hate it, and he hates a lot of things. So
it is some smooth, easy listening.
It is, but usually they don't go for that. Like, they kind of make a little bit of fun of Dateline, and we've been trying to get them on the cult of Dateline, and all it took was Keith's dulcet tones to do it.
Well, of course.
Yeah, that's all
it's not
took.
We're not going to be able to do
no,
it.
They all fell for it.
Harsh tones are
we're
not going
talented
to help.
Enough.
Harsh / squeaky tones are not going to help.
Thank you. Am I squeaky or am I harsh?
Depending on the day.
Okay. Good to know. But listen to us on Crime Writers On because that was really fun and so nice of them to ask us. And
very nice to be involved.
And their
Thank
review
you.
Is really good. Like, they good. Really, really loved the podcast.
It better be. I'm good. Good. Good,
yeah,
guys.
I was
Thank
thrilled.
You.
Yeah. So this is season 28, episode 1.
Oh, yeah. It's a new
First
season,
episode.
Too. Just out of the gate. Bang. Pam.
They even got a new intro. Yeah. Did you notice?
What is it?
It's like sliding frames, still shots that are sliding across the screen.
Hmm.
And one of them is Keith. I'm sure it'll be different with each episode. Keith walking with one of the report detectives or somebody. And like it's shots moving. It's different.
Is it shots from the episode? I didn't
notice. Yeah, it's shots from the episode. And it's sliding like slides almost.
Did Justin the intern get
promoted?
Hired on?
Maybe.
Good job, Justin.
Good job, Justin. He graduated.
He's getting paid. He graduated from Cal State Fullerton and he is now full on, or whatever, SUNY Fredonia, and now he's on the payroll, and it's time.
He did a good job. I love New Year, New Dateline. It's a new look. I love it.
It's good times, but old story.
Old story, new look.
Yeah, old story, new look. Yeah, it's a goodie.
Which is what I will refer to myself when I get multiple facelifts in 10 years.
I like that. I think that's good. I
same was old Kimberly, same. New face.
New face. New face, who dis? Okay.
Where can I just, this intro was so long, I feel like I should read the whole thing. Keith's thing.
Did you write it down?
I wrote it down.
I think you should read the whole thing. Okay, you just do your best.
Obviously can't do it like Keith. You know I can't. You could maybe could. You have a much more dramatic voice.
Do you want to just show it to me?
Yeah, I don't know if that'll work.
I think you should go for it.
Can you read this?
No.
Is it reversed on the screen?
Where does it live, evil? Where is it born? Does it spring like a horror movie from some dark and frightening place? Or does it live quietly in fine society people, in their respectable homes or on their wide green lawns as they live their decent lives? Tend to their carefully manicured friendships. This story is about evil, the evil that smiles, helps, and sympathizes, that worms its way, tend to their carefully manicured friendships. This story is about the evil that smiles, helps, and sympathizes, that worms its way into unsuspecting minds and kills.
Yeah. Oh. That's it. The longest intro metaphor I think we've ever had.
I really wish I sounded like Keith Morrison. Just pretend.
I thought you did a great job.
Maybe I can do some voice modification. I don't know how to do that in post, but
to make it sound like Keith, that would be well. Why wouldn't we just do the whole show like that then? Every episode.
Why wouldn't we? Yeah. There is something. Didn't Shane Dawson do something where they have like voice recognizers where you can flip your voice to sound like someone else?
Really?
I feel like that's just a lawsuit.
Is
that's
that
just
like when Dennis holds up that thing and he's like, is this what it sounded like when you were kidnapped? Like.
That's so not okay. There was no part of that was okay.
No, Dennis. So this takes place in a town outside of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. The first thing happens December 27th, 2011. Russ Faria called 911 hysterically because he thinks his wife has killed herself. There's a knife sticking out of her neck, which is odd.
That's a lot.
And she sliced her arms. So she was a little extra in killing herself. But he's panicked. So you get confused. Now, right out the gate, first 2 minutes, we get an interrogation room blanket.
Ha! We do! I didn't even write it down.
Katie has been wanting Interrogation Room Blanket to be on the bingo card for so long. I finally added it to our new extreme bingo cards because it happens so rarely. But this is New Year, New Dateline, and we get it right out the gate.
It's going to be blankets all year. Uh-huh. We're headed into fall.
It's sweater weather.
It is sweater weather, hence Interrogation Blanket weather.
Yeah. So check out our extreme bingo cards.
But why is he wearing it like that? It's not falling down. He's wearing it all bunched up on his shoulders. It's like a shorty blanket. It's like an airline blanket.
I was wondering the same thing because sometimes the blankets are huge. Like they cover the whole person. And I was like, where are they getting these ginormous blankets? And sometimes it's more like a tea towel. It's wrapped around
the
shoulders.
Yeah, this was the tea towel. Yeah, this looked like the blanket you get on the airplane that covers half your legs if you're tall.
Yeah, like one leg.
You have to like square it in like the most narrow, longest way possible to get it. I hate those blankets. All right.
Now, Betsy is unfortunately dying of cancer. She had had cancer and recovered, and now it came back. But she was enjoying she is my hero. She was enjoying her life to the fullest. They were going on a cruise, even though she was suffering from cancer. It was terminal.
Well, that was cute. I thought that was...
I loved that. And there's a photo of her swimming with the dolphins, which I was really surprised that we haven't had more of on Dateline. Because don't you think if people had a photo of them swimming with the dolphins, that would be one of the photos they would submit to Dateline?
I do. I think it's difficult to get a good picture of yourself swimming with dolphins. That was an exceptionally good photo. It was like her smiling perfectly, one hand on one dolphin, one hand on the other, like mid-dolphin ride.
It could have been on the photo of a dolphin magazine.
Yeah, I feel like most of the time people look kind of scared.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
And we all saw the King of the Hill episode.
That's what I was going to say.
In which
it was dolphin's turn.
We know why they would be scared. Yeah. Return to La Grunta. It's so good. It's so worth
it. That was a good one.
So, my God.
That's a good one.
So, Betsy was the life of the party. Amazing. Yeah. We haven't had that in a while. Honestly, if you don't win bingo this week, I feel really sorry for you. Because I feel like it's going to be pretty easy. Because right off the bat, I just feel bad for you. Betsy, this was incredible. I did not remember this from the 5 episodes I've seen about Dateline, about this case. Betsy was a DJ.
Yeah.
I did not remember that at all. Blew my mind.
She was a DJ at like 17, though. They didn't say she was still DJing. Did she still DJ? Was that her? He wasn't her job because she worked at that other place.
No, but I think it was like a hobby.
But she, like, that was her thing when she was young and, like, yeah.
Is that not so fun? I have no problem with female DJs. It's the male DJs you got to watch out for.
I totally agree. I think that's super sexist and biased, and I don't care.
Mm-mm. Oh, I'm fine with it.
You have to have the best personality to be able to do that and put up with people coming up and be like, can you play that pony song?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. I don't know. I don't know why I picked that song.
What song is that?
If you're let's do it.
Ride it. Is that a pony? Do they play that in clubs?
No, it's so old. It's the only song I could think that a DJ would play.
Hmm.
Yeah.
DJ Betsy Freeze.
Yes.
So her and Russ wrote
Stop. What is her DJ name?
That's what I don't know. So I just made up DJ Betsy Freeze. But
DJ bets are off. All bets are off.
That's not bad. It's not bad.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
I hope her family isn't mad right now. Because that was better than her actual DJ name.
It's like when someone suggests a title that we didn't come up with.
But I get real upset. Yeah. Yeah. And instead her DJ name was like DJ Sprinkles. Like, oh, well, no. 10 more minutes. Sorry. DJ Pizzazz. Okay, I'm done. That's it.
She and Russ rode motorcycles, and Russ is extremely fond of fedoras. Loves them. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the right kind of hat. Or was it a bowler?
That's a fedora.
He wears a lot of them. I kind of feel like he might really like Guy Fieri. No shame.
Do you think he likes Las Vegas?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. But you do, too.
I do. Do you think they entered the slot tournament on the cruise?
Oh, yeah.
I think they did.
You did too, though.
I certainly did. Surely did. First one.
And you won.
And I won. I have a trophy to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a trophy?
I did. I got a trophy with a ship on it. That was the best part. It wasn't anything else. It was the fact that I got a trophy. I was so excited to win.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe that I won. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So Russ went over to his friend Mike's house for Tuesday night game night. They did it every week. I was so jealous.
I know you are.
It made me love Russ because I love a game night. We used to do them all the time. We don't do them anymore. And it makes me really sad.
Do it. It's you. But you were the impetus is the problem. You're the one. Nobody else did game night but you.
Chosen one.
You have to pick up the fallen torch that you actually dropped.
I did. I was lazy and it just fell right out of my very small hands.
It just
the torch was too heavy and big. It just slid right out. Butterfingers.
It got slippery from the Cheeto grease. It just slipped right out.
Didn't do it. So Russ drove home from game night, stopped at Arby's, and then went home and he found Betsy. She had over 50 stab wounds. She was murdered, obviously. And the police right away think Russ did it. They tell him, in fact, the fact of the matter is, you stabbed Betsy.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They just full out tell him.
Oh, yeah, they full out tell him.
Yeah.
So you did this.
If you thought I was angry in last week's episode at the police.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Get ready, because
no, the acid it can't reflux be part two.
Boiling up again. I'm going to be a Hungarian horntail in just a few minutes. So Betsy's mom said that Russ was a great husband and son-in-law. Keep that in mind. Meanwhile,
Betsy... I will keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I have questions for her mom.
I have many questions for the mom. So may she have comfort in this time of sorrow. But still, I have questions for you, lady. So Betsy's friend, who what drove her home the night she was murdered and was the last one to see her alive, is saying that Russ was mean to Betsy, would say stuff about how much life insurance he was going to get when she died. Now, my dad makes these jokes very regularly, like at least 3 times a week.
Right.
Is he going to murder her? We don't know. It's possible.
He's not.
I don't think so, but he likes to make the jokes a lot.
He does. And I'm wondering if he liked to make the jokes, too.
Maybe. Russ says he never made those kind of jokes. So
okay, or it's just a complete lie. Okay.
Exact. We don't know. Or if it was, I don't know. So, well, I think we know. We know. So
we know.
This friend is Pam Hupp. And Keith says, that's a name you need to remember. Thanks, Keith.
That's a name we'll never forget.
It's the name of the episode and the podcast. So I think we're good. Pam says Betsy was even planning to leave Russ. She had gone away on a weekend trip to Branson with another friend because they were both planning to leave their husbands. So I guess Branson is where you go if you're a middle-aged lady who wants to have a last girl's trip before you divorce your husband. I mean, I want to go to Branson. It sounds very fun.
Because of the strip malls.
Strip malls?
Isn't that what she said? The friend says that there are strip malls.
There's strip malls everywhere.
But I thought she said we go because of the blank thing. Was it outlets? It was something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was something like to do with like shopping.
To hear music or something?
No, I think there might be music in Branson, but it sounded like...
Branson is one of the music capitals of the country.
I may have heard that all wrong, but I heard strip because it stopped me because I was like, what? They're going to strippers? And then I was like, oh, they're shopping. There's like a place with a bunch of strip malls. So maybe their town doesn't have a lot. But why would you need a week? I don't know.
Interesting. I missed that part.
Okay.
But regardless, I kind of want to go. It sounds fun. I want to go to Branson and Dollywood.
Yes.
Right?
I'd like that. We can go to the two together. We can do like a Midwest tour. We got to do like a inner United States tour.
Okay. The innards. So yeah. Pam says that Russ would put a pillow over her face and said to her, this is what it would feel like when you die. I don't know if my dad has done that to my mom.
We might need to have
my parents on.
Yeah.
I think we might need to have them on in part two because
we also need your dad to explain to our listeners so I don't always feel very tense about this, that like it's all a joke. This is not real and it's his sense of humor.
No one thinks it's serious. Why else would I be publishing it to the world?
But it is a joke. It is all very funny and it is done in jest and Joni is in on it and it's very, very funny.
Is she? Yes, she is. So they find Russ's slippers with Betsy's blood on it. And Russ's story doesn't change even after they interrogate him for 48 hours. He finally leaves the police station. He is fedora-less, but he's wearing a tie-dye shirt. I'm really starting to think I need to add tie-dye shirts to the bingo cards because I feel like I'm seeing a lot of them.
No, we're at like a 5 or 6 count in the last couple months, and that's high. But that's wait a minute. It's like every other episode.
Yeah.
Is this how much the episode is jumping around? That we're finding the slippers in the closet, and then all of a sudden he's being released in a new shirt?
Well, it was 48 hours, so I'm assuming his lawyer brought him a shirt because he's wearing a different shirt than when they first brought him in.
When do we meet the lawyer? What part of the episode?
Well, here's the interesting part, because when he's first being released after they question him, he's with this one lawyer who has
different lawyer.
The weirdest steampunk evil villain facial hair I've ever seen. And it's not at all important to the story, but I just want you to know at home listening, if you saw it, I saw it too. I see okay. you. And that's all. That's all I want to say, because later he gets another lawyer. It's not important. But right away I was like, that's one of the guys from Guess Who, the game where you flip down the faces.
Is it? Oh, wow.
I'm going to do a mashup because there's something going on there. Now, meanwhile, Pam is talking to the media, bashing Russ, spreading suspicion all over town.
And has Pam been interviewed by the police at the point when she's talking to media?
Okay. Yes.
She's brought in right away.
Right away.
She's the last person to have seen her.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
And she's saying, well, it's weird because right away when they interview her, she says she doesn't know Russ that well. And then as more they talk to her, she's saying, well, actually, he was really mean. And actually, he would smother Betsy with a pillow. And actually, so it's very strange. We can see what's happening here. I just don't know if we would have seen it at the very beginning, or would we have automatically assumed that it was Russ like the police did? Or like, because in hindsight, it's so obvious what's happening here.
I feel like you would immediately assume it was the husband.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I probably would. Because it usually is.
And especially with the level of stabbing.
Yeah.
Over 50 stab wounds.
Yeah.
Seems unbelievably personal. So it is either the husband or a boyfriend or girlfriend that we don't know about.
Right.
Period.
So since Pam has been spreading words about how Russ is very suspicious, now Betsy's family and friends are starting to remember things differently about their marriage. That he was angry and that Betsy was afraid of him.
I don't understand.
I don't understand changing your perception based on just rumors. That it's like the type of person, like Michael Scott, who the last person who talked to him is the one he believes. And then if another person walked in the room and said something totally different, he'd be like, yeah, I can see that.
Because but think about this. They're like, well, it must be him. So at this point, because who else is it?
Right.
This is a tiny town with no murders.
Right.
And so they're just trying to, in any part of their brain, be like, what did I miss? So they're going combing back through and doing like deep digging into I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah. No, I know.
Okay.
So Keith says the thing about Pam was she understood how important a story was. That's the title of the episode, Keith. You said it.
Do you think that when they were throwing around ideas for names of episode that anyone at the table said, what's up with Pam? Did it come up at any point in time? Was that thrown out there? And if not, Dateline, give me a job.
We could close this episode right now, I think. I'm really happy with that. So
I'm ready to be.
Good night, everyone. You needed. That's good. I enjoyed
it. Can I title this episode that?
Yeah. Yes. What's up
with Pam?
Yep.
Part 1.
I love it.
I'm doing it.
Yes. Now, what's interesting about the title is that Rebecca brought up on Crime Writers On is that did anyone think maybe we shouldn't call it the thing about Pam because it totally gives away that it's Pam and it's not Russ very early on if someone wasn't familiar with the story?
I think that they let you know that pretty soon. Quick. Like, it seems like that there's something else going on because otherwise why would they be doing a podcast about... Right. But I get the point. That's an interesting point. Yeah.
So Pam says that Betsy was scared that Russ would waste her life insurance money after she died. So she entrusted her friend Pam with the money, which was like $150,000. And she was supposed to put it into a trust for Betsy's daughters. So Pam is the benefactor, yet Russ is the suspect. So it's 8 days after Betsy's death. They arrest Russ. 8 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did he even get to go to the funeral?
That's a good question. I don't know.
The problem is I'm also confusing the podcast with the episode. You're probably better at separating them. So I know we get more information in the podcast.
So. We do. But the thing is this is 4 episodes of Dateline, 2-hour episodes. I think most of them were 2 hours. So that's 8 hours combined into a new 2-hour. So there's lots of stuff they had to cut. So
yeah, that's
I
true.
Probably should have gone back and rewatched all of the others, but that's not,
we might have to do just some follow-ups.
That's a lot of work.
Pam watch.
Yeah.
We could do it.
All Pam right. Watch. I feel like that's what they used to say when they were people were hunting for Pamela Anderson when she was on Baywatch.
Who was hunting her? Hunting? Like with like a
paparazzi.
Rifle? Oh, yeah. We're on Pam Watch. Yeah.
when she was like dating Kid Rock. We're on Pam Watch. We're looking for her to... God. Yeah. So Russ's new lawyer with no evil mustache, Joel Schwartz, I remember him fully from all the other episodes. I remember his curly hair.
Do we know him from other things?
Just from this, I think.
Mm, seemed very familiar to me.
Yeah, he did to me too, but I thought it was just from this. Could be other cases. I think he's one of my people.
I think he's definitely, he should be one of your people. Also, his office is amazing.
You know whose office I thought was amazing was the prosecutor at the end in the blue office. But I don't remember what Schwartz's office looked like.
It's just fancy. And he has some sort of crazy movie poster. It's like one of those French movie posters or something.
Behind his desk, I couldn't figure out what it was.
It's violent. Whatever the poster is, it's like really graphic. I was like, oh, he's cool. What's he got going on? Why are his ceilings so high? Schwartz. Yeah, I was excited. Yeah.
Joel. So Pam said she and Betsy went to a library and got a girl there to witness the insurance change.
Now, so a notary.
No, well, a library. Instead of getting it notarized.
No, I think that's kind of a notary.
No, because in the podcast, I think Keith even says instead of getting it notarized, they went to a library and had a girl sign it as a witness.
Well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right? Especially considering, which is huge, Pam and Betsy work together at an insurance agency.
What in the heck are you doing? Why is Betsy doing this? It's so weird. It's very strange.
No, okay, it makes no sense. Why are you going? I'm not saying librarians aren't smart. They go get a degree in that. But
library science.
Yeah. But why?
I almost did it.
Really? Okay. So, but no, love librarians. And I think I got in trouble by implying they're not hot. I think they're super hot. It was in an old episode. But I did not mean that. I think I love librarians. Love libraries.
The library Illuminati came after you.
They did.
We are hot.
You don't know. We take off our glasses in slow-mo and take the bun out of our hair. We're super. No.
Check out Janelle, 27, Des Moines, Iowa. And it's like a profile picture. They have like their own secret Facebook.
There are so many websites for dating out there. I bet there's a librarian. Librariansonly.com.
And it's called Between the Books.
Between the Pages.
Between the Pages. And then they have everything listed in like a card catalog.
Yes, like so a you Dewey can search
by like a Dewey Decimal.
That's amazing.
If they don't have it, they should. Also, trademark.
TM. Come on. So I just don't understand why you would go to a library and have a librarian do this when you work at an insurance agency.
Because it's shady.
It's
because
so
Pam
shady.
Pam is so shady,
but
and
Betsy
she's pushy.
Was there. So that's what's weird. Is like, so Schwartz, again, not the cops, because the cops already think it's Russ. They don't care. Schwartz goes to find the girl at the library. And the girl at the library says it seemed like Pam was in charge of the whole thing. Betsy didn't say anything. So I just don't know what happened there. Like, it almost seems like she was drugging Betsy or something. And, like, I don't understand. I originally thought she must have forged the papers. But
do you think that Betsy didn't know exactly what she was signing? But Betsy's not an idiot, and you're right. She works at an insurance agency.
Yeah. I don't understand exactly how she was able to do that. And also, she didn't tell her family and friends about it, which Keith points out was really unlike her, because she told them everything. So,
okay, here's my thought.
Yeah.
She works with this woman every day.
Yeah.
Betsy is Pam is being super pushy. Pushy Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they call her. She's really trying to make this happen. And Betsy's like, I'm so over this. And I don't want to have a war with this woman that I have to see every day that everyone seems to really like. I'll just do it and I'll change it back later.
Interesting. That's interesting.
So she just goes with it because she won't let up on it.
Right.
Never thinking that this woman is actually possibly going to kill her.
Right.
She's just like, I can't deal with it. It's too much. Like, fine, let's just do it. Just get it done. So she didn't tell anyone because she's embarrassed. Because honestly, she's just trying to save her work relationship.
Right, right. Okay, that makes sense. Mm. So Schwartz now goes, does more investigating. The trip to Branson. The cops are just believing Pam when she said she went with this friend to Branson because they were both going to divorce their husbands. Schwartz, not the cops, Schwartz, yeah, the lawyer, goes to find the lady, the friend that went to Branson, who has this beautiful accent. I liked the friend. I wanted more of her.
UK? Is she English?
I don't know.
British?
I wasn't sure. Liked it. Whatever. So,
yeah, I did too.
She said Betsy was thrilled with Russ. They were totally happy on the trip. At one point, they're at a store that sells jelly beans or something, and she's on the phone with Russ picking out the flavors that he wants, and they're going to eat them together.
Don't you pretend like you don't know what store that is.
Is it a Jelly Belly store?
Yes, it's the Jelly Belly outlet. That's why I think they're at outlets, because the only Jelly Belly store I've ever seen that's just Jelly Bellies is the Jelly Belly outlet in Valencia, California, of which I've been to two or three times.
Yeah, because you like jelly beans. I don't like jelly beans.
And they have the discontinued flavors there. Sad. It's like the Mecca. It is so much fun.
Okay. So, no shame. I know a lot of people really like jelly beans. Not my favorite.
They're not jelly beans. They're Jelly Bellies. They're not. That's why they're having to pick the flavors, because there's so many to choose from. They have a whole Cold Stone Creamery line now. Did you know that? They have a Krispy Kreme line. There's a glazed donut flavored Jelly Belly. There's a chocolate with sprinkles flavored Jelly Belly.
I did not know that. I knew they had lip glosses. I've seen the lip glosses. Have you seen the lip glosses?
I don't know anything about the lip gloss.
They have, I think, Jelly Belly flavor. If someone tell me if I'm right. I don't know. And I don't mean to disparage jelly beans.
I will not have it.
That's just not the texture. That's not my favorite kind of candy.
It's terrible.
So the friend says that Betsy was totally happy with Russ. They were not getting a divorce. She did say that Betsy had to go to a meeting with Pam and that she was not looking forward to that meeting with Pam.
Uh-huh. Because Pam is being pushy.
Mm-hmm. Now, 4 days after she makes this insurance claim, she's dead. The day she died, Betsy had chemo, and Pam offered to give her a ride. Betsy said, no, I need some one-on-one time with this family friend. But Pam shows up anyways because she's a stage 5 clinger. That's so weird. I don't know. So after chemo, Betsy goes to dinner with the family friend, and then Pam shows up to give her a ride home, which Betsy did not ask for, and which was 30 minutes out of Pam's way. And Betsy also already had a ride lined up with Russ.
So weird. So what is Pam saying? Is Pam like, I need a friend? Husband trouble, maybe. Kid trouble. Why? But I would be so annoyed.
It's exactly what happens in this other episode that I really want to cover called Secrets in a Small Town. But I can never find it online.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I can't find it.
I feel like I've seen it. Okay.
It's not a small town secret. That was the Payne Lindsay one.
Oh, there we go.
Secrets in a Small Town. You know, the Dateline titles. So they arrived home at Betsy's house at 7 p.m. At 7:27, there's a call from Pam's phone to Betsy, which went unanswered, which Pam says she was calling Betsy to say she's home safe. But there's not enough time for Pam to have gotten home by then. So she's lying. So when the police ask her about that, she says, well, I was almost home. I was calling to tell her I was almost home. So then they're like, the cell towers say she was actually within 3 miles of Betsy's house and could still have been at Betsy's house.
Good God.
Yeah. It's not right. The rage.
And the police are just not. They're just whatever.
No, they
whatever.
Don't care. They're coaching Pam and using her as their key witness to get Russ. The rage. The fire is coming up to my nose.
Yeah, I get you.
Turning into a dragon. Now, Russ goes on trial for murder. Schwartz is going to say, basically, it was clearly Pam and not Russ. That's the whole defense. Is like, it's Pam. So the defense. The prosecutor and the detectives prep Pam because they want to win. So they say to Pam, this is nuts. We have a problem, Pam. You were supposed to take that insurance money and give it to Betsy's daughters. You were supposed to put it in a trust for them. You still haven't done that. And it's been 2 years since she died. That doesn't look good. Because on the stand, they're going to point to you and say, why haven't you given them the money? And obviously, you bought some new clothes with your Kohl's cash because she dresses head to toe Kohl's.
Or Lila Rose. Lila Rose? Lila Rose.
Lula Rose.
Lula Rose.
No, but there were no leggings and no patterns. Aren't Lula Rose tops very patterned heavy?
Yeah, they aren't. Yeah, they aren't.
She was more in all solids, khakis. It might be Kohl's, I think.
It might be, you know, you might be totally right.
With Kohl's cash. Oh, there is a part in the podcast about her loving to get a savings. It was just the funniest part ever.
Really? About her loving to... Wait, which episode? I'm only one behind. What?
She's talking about what she did the day of the second murder, and she goes to get her morning soda. Like, every day she goes to the store and gets her little soda. That's her treat for the day. And she has to bring her card to get it punched or something, and then Keith goes, you get a free one after so many.
Oh, wow. So she has like an AM PM card.
Yeah,
I've had those.
Do you get free sodas with them?
No, I lose them all the time. I get them, the cards, all the time. The sodas, no. I just should lose
that.
The cards.
I would love the free soda. How many do you have really to great. Use to get a free soda?
No, it's like 5.
Oh, wow.
And it's soda or coffee. So it's great for someone like me because you can punch it for soda or coffee.
Where's there an AM/PM?
Yeah, you're not really in AM/PM land. I'm more in an AM/PM land.
I will drive.
Oh,
something free.
Then I'll give you a list. North Hollywood.
Oh no, I won't drive that far.
I have no time for you. Okay. Keep going.
Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So the detective is prepping her and saying, where is this money? You had 2 years to put this money in a trust, and we need you to create that trust before the trial. So right before the trial, Pam creates the trust.
No, but what does she say? They say, is there any way you can do this? Oh, what's the chance that you can get this done? 100%.
Yeah.
I hated that.
And the fact that the detective is like, help us win this case. You know, you're our key.
Like, yeah, we know you pocketed the money, but come on.
Just come on. We want to win this. So, but then here's the huge kicker. The judge says that Schwartz can't ask Pam about the money or point to Pam as the killer, which.
Why?
What? Okay. I don't understand. Okay, so in a lot of cases, you have to have an alternate suspect to win the case. Like, it always helps your case to point to someone else that could have done it. That's how you win a lot of cases. This time, he has a perfect other suspect who totally did it, and he's not allowed to do it. I don't understand.
No, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you aren't allowed, but
I don't understand why. Because a lot of times it really helps. In fact, I was watching the People versus O.J. Simpson because I never finished it because it made me a Hungarian horntail. And I finally finished it. And they never point to another suspect the whole time because there's no one else. And the DNA, that thing with the DNA guy. That's just the whole, I can't.
Yeah, it's really rough.
Oh, it's so painful. I can't.
So why is it specifically they're not allowed? Are they not allowed to point to anyone else, or are they just not allowed to point to Pam? Did we get confirmation on
how? I think it was Pam because she's not on trial. He is. But I don't understand that, because I've seen many other datelines where the whole defense has rested around pointing it at someone else.
All right, is he allowed to be able to say things like, this other person could... Are they allowed to allude to another person but not say who they are?
I don't know. And I don't know if that would be effective.
Wait, no, Stephen Avery. In Making a Murderer, aren't they not allowed to point to someone else? That's something that happens. The defense dynamic duo? Isn't that in part one, in season one? Aren't they not? They were going to suggest,
I don't know, but
other
that's
people?
A huge part of Kathleen Zellner's, is finding out who really did it and pointing to them. So
yeah.
Maybe it just depends on the judge. I don't get it at all. If law can call us, I will welcome that, because I don't understand.
Yeah, me neither.
And
I think it must just depend on the judge.
Yeah, I guess so. But it just kills me too, because the prosecution, they have all this information. So they know, even though he's not allowed to bring it up, they know about Pam and the money. And they know
about the
cell phone pings. And they know that. So they know, they have to know they're prosecuting the wrong person. But do they just not care? Or are they so blinded? I don't understand. I know
I still think they think they're prosecuting the right person. I think they just, right?
I don't.
Is somebody dating Pam?
She's not hot, you guys. Up your standards. Are they all in love with Pam?
Is she doing like cookouts? I think it's steaks. I think it's meat. I think she's bringing them
like
tri-tip.
Like one of those meat clubs where you get monthly steaks?
No, where she's coming and she's got some sort of big grill set up and is cooking all the department meat the last Friday of every month.
They're having it's like meat the Friday. Pam.
Yeah, they're having like a pambecue or whatever, whatever they want to call it. That's what they're doing.
Wow. That's curious. Now I'm very curious.
Something's happening. Something's up, right? Yeah.
Or is it like the head of the county is just saying, we have to get this guy. It's the husband. We have to, no matter what. Look the other way.
Why, though?
Yeah, I don't get
why. Does somebody
why.
Have something against,
him? Against Russ. Yeah, I don't. Like, in Making a Murderer, it was obvious they had something against Stephen Avery. But
I would like to speak to the lawyer. I think the lawyer has an idea why.
Oh, Schwartz? Yeah, I bet Schwartz
knows. I think Schwartz knows. Yeah. And I think Keith knows.
Oh.
Maybe we could have an off-the-record conversation.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on here? Or is it just literally blinders on, or corruption, or... Well, just stupidity. Like, is it Detective Sanchez?
It's a little of that. So what did Keith say? It's like in episode one or two that this is the first murder there in over a year. They hardly ever have homicides.
Yeah, and that's
so,
a lot of times where it goes bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Because people think they're doing the right thing. And
now, Russ has an alibi. He has the four friends at the game night, but Dateline
four
has
people.
The other podcast called 13 Alibis, where the guy literally has 13 alibis. You should definitely listen to that podcast. Spoiler alert, one of the alibis is a retired police officer. One of the alibis is a corrections officer. And one of the alibis is a pastor. 13. And it was in a different state.
That's insane.
13 people hung out with him in Florida, and the murder happened in New York.
Wow.
I don't understand. So Russ has these four alibis. They were watching movies. He even fell asleep during the movie because he thought it was boring. And Keith has a great line in the podcast.
He does.
He's like, boring? It's a matter of taste.
Or to each their own. Is that what he says? Because it's The Road, right?
Yeah, it's The Road. Yeah.
Have you read The Road?
I haven't read The Road, no.
It's heartbreak. It's rough.
Don't.
I don't know why I did.
I like those apocalyptic things.
It's tough.
No. Okay. Russ left the game night at 9, stopped at Arby's, to which I think he has a receipt, and I think he might even be on camera there getting the Arby's. and then goes home and finds Betsy. And the rigor mortis shows she died around 7. Like, it's literally impossible unless he's in two places at once. There's blood on Russ's slipper. That's true. There is blood on Russ's slipper. But there's no slipper footprints in the blood.
Come on.
Or a trail of footprints to the closet where the slippers were. So it appears as if someone dipped the slipper in the blood and then put it in the closet.
That's smart.
Yeah.
But also,
no one
ever
said she was smart.
The blood's also like splashed up on the side of the slipper. Right?
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's not even necessarily on the bottom. It's kind of, yeah. So the trial ends. They find Russ guilty, which is, we all know, and it's unreal.
How?
How? I want to talk to the jury.
Because you know Schwartz, you know he did a great job.
I really do feel confident that he did a good job. I really feel like either the prosecution was slimier and somehow more convincing, or it's because they weren't allowed to point to Pam and they're like, who else would have done it?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's
it. He has witnesses. I don't understand. He has, Okay. So I'm just royally ticked. last week I was astronomically peeved. This week I'm galactically miffed. So,
oh, good Lord.
Keith is just getting bigger and bigger, and then I don't know as much about science.
I don't even know where we're going
to
go.
I'm going to have to call Neil deGrasse Tyson to find out more terms that I can use. Keith asks Betsy's mom after the trial, if someone brought you evidence that said it wasn't Russ, and she interrupts him and says, I would still think it was Russ.
Now, at that point, I want to talk to her.
I want to have words. Polite words.
First of all, you don't say that to Keith Morrison. That was a tone. There was a tone.
Oh, did you feel like there was a tone?
Well, Keith obviously thinks he didn't do it.
Right, right.
But maybe she's standing her ground.
Mm-hmm. And I think she even said 100%.
She's being assertive.
Which is the same thing Pam said earlier. 100%.
Ew.
Yeah.
So how much do we think Pam got to the family?
Somehow a lot.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because the mom had said right away, he was a great son-in-law. I thought of him like a son. He was a great husband. They were so happy. And now she says, if even in the face of evidence... This is when my soul died a little. It wasn't a Hungarian horntail. It was literally part of Kimberly dies when facts don't matter and science doesn't matter.
Right. And we're just, nah.
And we're just going on like, I just have a feeling. I don't know.
Why do you think she's being like that? Why do you think that she's so sure?
It's just so much easier to imagine that.
Is it?
I don't know. It's a lot of probably cognitive dissonance and, what's it called? Bias, confirmation bias, or where you like look for things that confirm what you already think.
Correct.
And you selectively forget the things that do not back up your theory. But where did she even get to that theory in the first place? Because right after the murder, she did not think it was Russ.
Right.
But obviously Pam or someone got in her head. I don't know what goes through your mind. So... I don't understand. Yeah.
I don't understand why you would be so sure that it was him.
Yeah.
Unless he did something personal to you afterwards, like he was horrible in his grief and said something nasty or, you know what I'm saying?
Which I don't think that would have even happened. I bet it was like something at the funeral, like I saw him smile at the funeral or something.
Yeah.
Something weird like that that you take
it. Did it seem a little spiteful the way she said it?
Yeah. I don't get it. Okay,
I don't either. I don't. But I did know. I thought it was really strong the way she said it. And boy, you are sticking to your guns on something that you're completely wrong about.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Completely wrong. And you're saying even proof would not prove it. So
yeah, that's bad.
Betsy's daughters sue Pam for the money because surprise, surprise.
Wow.
She never gave it to them. You know how she created that trust? Well, she did it right before the trial because the detectives wanted her to. Right after the trial, she defunded the trust. She took the money out for herself.
How old are the daughters? How old are the daughters when they are they just suing when they're 18?
Yeah, they are not Russ's daughters. I think they're a little bit older. I don't know if they're still maybe teenagers, but.
Oh, they're her daughters.
They're her daughters. They're not Russ's daughters.
Okay.
In fact, Russ has no relationship with them. since this happened.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's really sad.
How did you know that?
Dateline producer tweeted it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because they believe he did it.
Still?
Yes.
No. No. Okay, keep going. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. That's too much. Yeah. It's too much. Wow.
So Schwartz files a motion to get this evidence heard about them suing for the money because she took away the money, which is a huge long shot. Like, things like this.
It's a huge long shot.
We've seen it on Making a Murder, and they do the chart of where things like that have to go and like what are the odds of things like that getting passed and things getting reversed. It like never happens, but it happens. They get to have a new trial, which is
because who heard it was a different judge.
Yes, amazing. So a different judge hears the case and says that Pam's manipulation of the insurance money would have changed their minds. So he gets a new trial. But the thing is, if the jury had been able to hear about Pam and the money and her timeline and the cell phone and all of that, that might have changed their minds in the first trial. So why wasn't it allowed? I just don't understand.
Well, and Keith said this is the judge's first murder trial. It is the prosecutor's first murder trial. It's like everybody's first time at the trough.
What are we doing? Who cares if someone's life is at stake?
Right. He's just siding on the side of the prosecutor at every turn. For, I don't know why.
So the prosecution now has to sit down again with Pam to coach her because she's still their star witness and they're on her side as long as they don't lose their conviction, which is all people care about on, seemingly on Dateline. It's not about the truth. It's about not losing your conviction. Right. So they're talking to Pam. And why is Pam in an unsupportive bra? I wish we had a bra sponsor this week so I could do a segue. Maybe it's just her leaning. She's just not very sitting up straight. I'm sure I hunch a lot. She's hunching. Yeah. Anyways,
she's a huncher.
But just, I am just, I just want to yell about something. It's something. So get a new bra, Pam. So Pam at Kohl's. Pam is like, how?
You have $150,000.
Yeah, you could do it. So Pam is like, how can we get the judge to believe us? Us. She's saying this to the prosecutor because they're gossiping like they're all friends.
They like, are all friends.
Yes. They have the meat Fridays or whatever.
Is Pam, Pam barbecue. Pambecue. Where is her husband? Is she married?
Yes, she is.
I want to meet him.
I want to talk to him as well. A lot of people on Twitter wanted to talk to him.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Like a sit down. Get Chili's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get the dish. And what does he think now? What did he think then? I want to know, I want his diary. I want to know what he thought at each step and when, if he started to change his mind ever.
Is he just one of those, whatever you say, honey?
Yes. Is that's he one what of those? I think, 100%.
He's a yes man.
Oh, okay. I just said 100%, just like they are. Okay.
Yep.
So Pam is like, how can we get the judge to believe us? And the prosecutor is gossiping with Pam and saying things like, well, it's just because Joel Schwartz is such a sore loser. He just can't let it go. That's what all this is about. And
wow.
It's unbelievable. It's like their girlfriends just gossip. Like, if that's really your girlfriend, she would say, sit up, Pam. You're on camera. It's unbelievable. She's just bashing Schwartz and the other side saying, well, they're just sore losers. No, that's not. Okay. So new trial happens.
When does the new trial happen? How far away is that? Like
Russ
another year?
Yes. So Russ has, I'll say by the end of it, Russ has been in jail for 3 years. Yeah. So the detectives are interviewing Pam again. Her story has evolved and changed.
Sure has.
Including that she and Betsy were lovers.
Oh, you said it.
You're my lover. Now,
they were sensual.
I've forgiven Mank. I can't deal with Keith saying lovers. Next is going to be Dennis. Then it's going to be Andrea. Then Lester's going to say it.
Oh, no.
If Lester says it, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
I can't handle
We might have to quit the podcast.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No, I'm just going to peel my skin off completely. So Pam proclaims, we were intimate, but I'm not a lesbian. I love everything about men. I can't wait for Magic Mike XL to come out.
That was the weirdest, worst, grossest.
I'm not making a joke here, people. That's literally what she says to them. to convince them that she's not gay while simultaneously convincing them that she and Betsy were sleeping together. I have no
work. Is any part of you surprised that Pam would be into my Magic Mike XL? No shame.
No, absolutely not.
But I was like, oh yeah, you are.
So she said Russ found out that they were sleeping together and threatened Pam and called her. I can't say it. How do I say it without saying it? I know you'll bleep it anyways. Okay. Mm-hmm. M blank. Thumpers. Like the rabbit in Bambi. M blank. Thumpers. New year, new dateline, people.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
here.
What we're doing
it's
now.
It's here to stay. Yeah, this is what, yep.
Get used to it. So Russ called her that, threatened her, because he found out they were intimate. Okay. So the investigators have this great new idea. Well, this is our theory now. We think Russ walked in and saw you in the house. What they're really trying to say, they want her to say, is we were getting it on, and Russ walked in, and he lost it. But she's like, no, I didn't see him that night. No, that didn't happen. And they keep trying to feed her. You sure? Because that's kind of the story we're trying to build right now, is that he saw you there at the house that night and lost it in a fit of rage. She's like, no. And then a couple weeks later, she says, you know, I did see a car outside with two guys in it. And one of them was Russ. Two weeks later, she comes. But so who's this new friend? Like, she's even trying. It took her 2 weeks to understand that they were trying to feed her a story. And then she feeds them a total crappy story that adds a new person into it, that now this new person needs to be explained by the prosecution. Who is this new guy? Who's this friend? They must be thinking, Pam, why can't you just make this easy for us? We're trying to make you look innocent, and you're actively trying to make yourself look guilty. You're making our job so much harder. Why is she like, now there's a friend? So now if the prosecution brings this up, they have to try and explain, who is this friend?
She completely changes everything about her story. Like, completely changes it.
Yeah. So this time, Russ chooses a judge trial, no jury, which is brilliant. And if that was an option, I would do that every single time. Because,
but that is, I think that's all Schwartz, right? He's like, yeah. No, let's do a judge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are so many idiots out there. I don't trust the people in the highest positions of power in this country to not be idiots and abusers and a-holes. I'm supposed to trust random citizens, my peers, a group of my peers. My peers
Your peers
suck.
Are going to send you to prison.
No, thank. And I know judges a lot. They might blow too, but the odds seem to be a tiny bit higher. You'll get
a little
one
bit
good
higher,
one.
That they wouldn't overlook.
Right.
Like, evidence that was very clearly there, like that he had a very strong alibi, etc.
Yeah. But you get 12 people together and six of them are just trying to get home to see their kids.
Right. Two of them are straight idiots.
Idiots. You're in trouble. And then one of them just doesn't want to cause a fuss. So even though she knows you're innocent, she just doesn't want to make waves. So she'll just go along with what everyone says.
Oh, yeah. You're just in. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're in trouble.
You're in peril.
I thought that was so interesting about the people against O.J. Simpson, the jurors who had been sequestered for so long, and they were starting to feel race issues with the guys that were guarding them, the jury people, the guards, and that was bleeding into how they were feeling about race relations. Like, is that not crazy? And that kind of affected their decision, too. It was amazing. And they were all just going mad because they were treated, they felt like they were treated horribly. They were going crazy. So they wanted to be done. So this time Schwartz is allowed to bring in everything about Pam. The thing about Pam. All things about Pam. Yeah. So
as he should have been the first time, it's just the judge didn't know.
100%. Did he not know?
No, he didn't. He's going off some weird old letter of the law or some case from like 1983. Where it's like, no, it's not allowed because of this statute and this statute. Well, since then, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that judge was just deciding things willy-nilly because the prosecution was like, we cannot bring this in. This woman has been so helpful to us.
Right.
She's made our case. She's made your case full of lies.
I do understand a judge doing that because if he rules a certain way, it could get overturned later on because they brought in things they weren't allowed to bring in. So it's like you have to keep thinking about what will happen in the future with the case, if it's sustainable. If it,
I see.
You know what I'm saying? Like someone else could come and go, well, no, he shouldn't have been allowed to bring that in. We have to do the whole case over again. And it's instead of just being like, what is the truth? What will help the truth come out? Because that's what matters here.
That's a really good point. I did not think about that.
The prosecutor has new evidence. A cop says he saw water droplets in the bathtub the night of the murder. He didn't write this down in any of his notes at the time of the murder.
Also, what does that have to do with anything? Was there a bottle of bleach in the bathtub too? Like, what are you talking about? Nothing was cleaned. Nothing was... What?
Did you see that bathtub? There was a crime in there, all right. Someone was murdered in there. It wasn't Betsy, but it is like a horror movie slaughterhouse. It's rust or grime, maybe blood. It's something. And Keith is like, no, but it was clean. And I'm like, clean? It is disgusting. I don't blame Betsy. She's out there living her life. It's fine. My bathroom's really dirty. But
they might need CLR.
They need so much CLR.
Yeah.
But if anyone understands what was happening inside of that bathtub, there's another story
there.
Hard
water. Hard water.
It's
no CLR for a long time.
It was scary. So
I got to look at it. I don't remember the bathtub, but I mean, I don't like
looking at people's bathrooms. Either. Yeah, no. But. So on Betsy's laptop, they find a letter from Betsy to Pam that says she's scared of Russ. He puts a pillow over my face. I want to give you the money, Pam. And if something happens to me, show this letter to the police. And
come on.
It's like exactly what Pam has been saying is conveniently in this letter that Betsy wrote to Pam on her computer but never sent to her. And the reason the police know about this letter is Pam says, you know what? She wrote me this letter, but she never sent it. Maybe you could try to, maybe find the letter. Maybe it's on her laptop. And
I hate you so much.
Flames in the side of my face.
Whoa.
So the police find this letter and they are like, this is it. We have it. And even Schwartz, when he sees the letter, says, this doesn't look good. But he knows that Pam is a wily fox, so he does not trust the letter. So he hires a tech guy, and the tech guy figures out that the letter was most likely written by someone else. It was placed on her laptop by someone else. And Keith says the funniest, Keith says, now why would you say that? Like, in the funniest tone, like Schwartz had just said something mean about his little brother. Like, why would you say that? And Schwartz is like, well, it didn't have an author, and all the other documents on the computer have an author. And so this one came from like an unknown source. So the letter happened to be created 5 days before Pam died, which is the day before the insurance papers were signed. So Pam had clearly been planning to frame Russ before the murder. It wasn't she came up with it after. It was fully before.
Yeah.
Which we probably could have figured out because of the slippers. But then why did she pick a night when he was at game night and had 4 alibi witnesses? Don't know.
I don't think she knew where he was.
Maybe not. I don't know. I feel like she would have asked. So the judge finds Russ not guilty. It's amazing. And he says the investigation against Russ was disturbing.
There we go.
Yeah, he knows what's up. Russ had already served 3 years in jail, and he's not even crying like Michelle Babes with Coffee over her 86 days. Russ is the anti-Babes with Coffee.
Yeah.
He's the motorcycles with fedoras. But props to Russ. And here's the kicker, is the prosecution decides not to reopen the investigation into Betsy's murder, which is such a middle finger to Russ. It's like, because they're saying, why should we reopen it? We know who did it. We just can't try him again because it's double jeopardy. So it really is. We already know who the murderer is. We've already caught them once. So
what do the daughters say?
Well, so they...
Because they know that it's Pam. Do they?
I don't know. We've seen so many family
members
in denial.
They're suing her for their money.
Yeah, they have to know.
They know.
Could it be that Pam is bad and stole their money, but also Russ was a murderer? Could both things be true?
Because they also just hate their stepdad? Yeah.
Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. But Keith says, oh, this thing with Pam wasn't over. Oh, no. And neither is our podcast, except it is. And we will be returning next week with more. Or will we? Yes, we will.
What do you think's going to happen?
More murders.
More murders. More Pam.
More Pam. I mean, it's bonkers. The thing about Pam is she's a sociopath.
The thing about Pam is there's too much Pam.
It's a bit much with Pam. You know when what's-his-name said I was a little much? Pam is a little much.
But also, she is, every picture we see of her, she's just smiling.
It's this smirk. Every picture.
Wait, when does she say, can we talk about this? Because when he leaves the courthouse, is this when we get the foreshadowing of the next murder? We should talk about this quickly when she says to Keith.
It happens, like, yes, in the trial where the daughters are suing her.
Oh, that's the trial that it happens. Okay, so yes. We're going to start with that trial next time. Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes, and she does a foreshadow that pulls in Dateline. Dateline breaks
Dateline
the fourth wall.
Dateline as an entity, yeah.
As an entity becomes part of the story.
Oh, it's very good.
It's insane. I feel like most of you have seen this one, so you're not, I don't know, but some of you don't watch, so you should be watching. You should also listen to the podcast, because it is delightful and shocking and
super
addictive.
Informative. Yeah. Again, it is a little tricky, I think only if you're doing this podcast, to try to figure out what is revealed and which, but there is a lot of extra info in the podcast that we shouldn't really talk about because you need to listen to it.
Plus, you get to hear Keith instead of our annoying voices in your head. You get to hear Keith
talk about it, not Katie doing a fake Keith.
And again, Crime Writers On loved it.
Yeah.
And that's what they do for a living, is review true crime podcasts. So that's saying something. Also, we were on their show. I don't know if I mentioned that. So maybe, like, check it out.
Oh, are you just going to drop that really quick, like a name drop? Like, oh, we were... By the by.
What? By the by, maybe just check us out. I'm proud of us because Rebecca said really nice things about us. Her and
delightful.
Kevin called us their friends.
Aww.
I know. And then she tweeted that if people weren't listening to us, they were missing out. You have
That's
to listen
so
to
nice.
It.
That's so
nice. I don't understand what show she's listening to.
I don't.
She's
that makes me
confused.
Sweaty and uncomfortable.
I don't. She probably got us confused with another podcast. They cover a lot of them. But we'll take it.
No, we'll take it. And at this point, if we could put music in, I would do simply the best, better than all the rest. That is the best parts of Schitt's Creek, by the way. If you're not watching, if you haven't seen Schitt's Creek yet, check that out.
I'm watching it again. I'm rewatching right now.
I loved that. I know that it's a little long, the dance, but I think it's so cute.
I don't honestly remember which part that is.
It's in not the latest season, the season 3. It's David and, what's his boyfriend's name? Patrick.
Okay, I haven't gotten to that rewatch part yet. I mean, I've seen it all before. I'm just rewatching.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you anymore. All right, thanks for listening, everybody, and tune in next week for more.
More Pam, more Cole's cash,
more murder.
More murder. There's a couple more. More trials. More Pam than you could shake a stick at.
Yeah, seriously.
More Pam, Pam, Pam.
Pam, Pam, Pam. And don't watch alone.
Watch with anyone but Pam. Have a game night and watch this instead of The Road, because you won't fall asleep during this.
That's great.
And it is a matter of taste. Different strokes for different folks,
different
whatever.
Different strokes for different folks. Do you think that Pam, do you think that Pam got a bad name, the Spray Pam? Spray Pam. Spray Can Pam.
Yeah. What, Pam?
Just real quick foreshadowing to Brand's unhappy being associated with murder. Pam.
Pam. Yeah. I think the reason they named Pam, how Pam Beasley, Pam Beasley, is because
Pam Beasley Halpert.
Yeah, she was supposed to be very plain Jane.
I only ever think of Pamela Anderson, just saying.
Well, but that's Pamela.
You don't think that she's a Pam or a Pammy?
Who? Pamela Anderson?
Yeah. To her friends?
Maybe. There's okay, so Pam can have two faces. A Pam could be a Pamela Anderson, and a Pam could be a cooking spray, and a Pam could be a Oh, interestingly enough, the Pam from Seinfeld works at a bookstore. She was librarian. Like a librarian, but they were gaga for her, but not at first. Well, Kramer was at first, but not Jerry. And part of that was he was just like, Pam, I don't know. But once it got into his head, it was like Costanza. It was a song he couldn't get stuck out of his head. It was like, Pam, it's beautiful. So It's, I think it's all about whatever Pam you are is what you bring to the table. And you can make Pam whatever kind of name that you are. It doesn't shape you. You shape
you
it.
You shape it. I like this. It's deep. And it's, that's very
do you notice
beautiful
I'm
and
getting,
poetic.
I'm getting more
prophetic and yeah,
I like philosophical it. Every episode.
I haven't noticed it, but I noticed it in this one. So does that count?
If I do it again next week, then it will be, I will have been continuing to do it.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
You'll notice. Yeah, we'll see.
Don't put pressure on yourself. Don't put pressure on yourself.
I don't have any more. I've dug to the bottom of the well is dry now. So I don't know. I got
Pamela,
nothing.
Pamela. If you don't remember that reference, go watch The Office. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Am I the benefactor to your millions?
Yeah.
Am I?
I don't have any millions. I don't have any paperwork. Mm. I don't own a piece of paper to write something down. I literally don't even have a blank piece of paper in my possession.
I find that hard to believe.
I don't, because today I was looking to print something and I had to print it on the back of our CrimeCon contract from last year.
I have so many paper. I have so much paper. I'm going to bring you a stack. I have a ton. I don't know why.
I need some paper.
You are in my will.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a will?
It's what my will being like, I told Oliver what I will to happen if I die.
I don't think that counts.
Oh, okay.
What am I getting?
Whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
But you get first pick.
Carte blanche?
You get first pick, and then there are people that come after you that I will not name. You know who you are. And then there are very specific people that get close.
Okay, that seems fair. Yeah. What if I really don't? I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I would want, except maybe a pair of Shirta shorts.
I think there would be a couple of things. But I think that it would also, but it's also anything that you think you could sell.
For money?
Yeah.
Just
if you were
sell
short
it
on cash.
That's very nice.
You're like, I'll take this. I don't know what I have that's worth anything, but maybe someday. Maybe some collector's things. I have a really old pair of Doc Martens that were limited edition that I bought in like 1999. And I've been saving them because like, someday
okay.
They will be valuable.
It's like those hats that I saved and thought I was going to resell. And then they got like crusty little
caterpillars.
There was like caterpillars and mold.
That was disgusting.
We found
that's
them
not
in
a
the
caterpillar.
Back of my car.
That's called a maggot.
It was so gross.
Don't try to like make it cute like a caterpillar crawled in there. That was a straight up maggot.
Yeah,
nasty.
It was. That was really embarrassing.
What's in this bag? And we're like going through it.
I was like, oh, it's the hats. I was maybe going to sell them.
Oh, it's the beautiful hats.
Times. Yeah, no. They were gross. Something got in there. Demon got in there.
Something evil got in there.
Yeah. Pam got in there.